John 3, verse 21, but he that doeth truth. Now that's an unusual way to speak. He that doeth truth. Did you know that the truth is something that you do? He that doeth truth. Now, what in the world does that mean? He that doeth truth. The truth is objective. Let me repeat that. The truth is objective. It's not subject to our thoughts. It's not subject to our understanding or the way we think. It's not subject to our experience. It's not subject to the things we do. He that doeth truth. In John chapter 17, verse 17, the Lord said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The truth is this book. Turn with me for a moment to John chapter 18. Verse 37. John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now the word "bear witness" is where we get the word martyr from. The Lord said, "This is why I came, to bear witness by my death of the truth." Now I want you to listen to this real carefully. The truth of who you are and who I am is only seen by the death of Christ. Now here's the truth. If God left me and you to ourselves, you know what would happen? We would be the murderers of his son. And now there's no doubt you and I have done bad things. I'm not justifying that. But those things pale in comparison to what we really are if God leaves us to ourselves. You see, by nature, we hate God and would have him put to death. That's me and you. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's how bad you and I are. That's the truth. He came to bear witness unto the truth. If you want to find out how bad you are, don't look in your heart. Look to the cross. That's where you will see the truth about yourself. He came to bear witness to the truth by his death. His death tells us the true character of God. Only by his death on Calvary's tree, and thank God his resurrection as well, but only by his death do we see the true character of God. We see his justice. We see his sovereignty. We see his holiness. We see his love. We see his mercy. We see his purpose. Christ's death. Why, he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's the purpose of the universe. And only through the death of Christ do we see the truth concerning the true character of God. Only through the death of Christ do we see the true character of salvation. It is finished. It's not something you do. It's something he did. The truth is always simple. If it's not simple, it's not true. And the truth is its own witness. It recommends itself as true. If I tell you the truth this morning, you'll know. You'll know. You'll hear and you'll say, that's the truth. The truth recommends itself as the truth. It's not somebody being able to explain it. It's just something when you hear it, you'll know that it's the truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. But grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Now, the truth is objective. It doesn't have anything to do with my natural thoughts. Truth's objective. It's the Word. It's seen in His death. That's the truth. It's objective. But it becomes subjective when I become a doer of the truth. He that doeth the truth. I want to be somebody who's a doer of the truth, don't you? What in the world does that mean? He that doeth the truth. When 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, we read, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That person who says he has fellowship with God, I pray, he hears, I believe, but yet he walks in darkness. And that's not really referring to walking in the darkness of secret sin, although that's terrible enough, but that's walking in the darkness of salvation by works. The darkness of religious superstition. He can claim to have fellowship with God, but he's lying. He's not doing the truth. Now, what happens when you do the truth? The truth has become subjective when you've heard the truth. Now, this is when the truth becomes subjective, and you become a doer of the truth. It begins right here. You've heard the truth. In whom you trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Now this is where doing the truth begins. You have heard the truth. You know, a lot of folks never heard the truth. But when you've heard the truth, that's when this thing of doing the truth begins. And you believe the truth. I tell you what, when you really hear, you do believe. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You see, if you're sanctified by the Spirit of God, you'll believe the truth. And the reason you believe the truth is because you have been sanctified by the Spirit of God. Now, doing the truth is hearing the truth. It's believing the truth. And it has something to do with worship. Worship. You hear, you believe, and what's the result of that? You worship. The Lord said, they that worship Him, speaking of God the Father, speaking of Himself, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You've heard the truth of what Christ accomplished, who He is. You've heard the truth. You believe the truth. And here's what happens when you've heard and you believe. You worship. You worship God for who He is. Turn with me for a moment to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. These all go together. You hear. You believe. You worship. Verse 8, and then shall that, for chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not, what's that? The love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. For what cause? Because they receive not the love of the truth. Now, I can show you from the Word of God that what I believe is what the Word teaches. I can do that. And you can become convinced that that is, in fact, what the Bible teaches. As I show you from the Word of God, this is what the Scripture actually teaches. You know, the Scripture does teach that God controls everything, that He really is God, that He's absolutely sovereign. He's in control of everything. The Scriptures do teach that men are dead in sins. And you hath He quickened who are dead in sins. There, right there. The Scripture teaches that God elected who would be saved before time began, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. I can show you that. The Bible teaches that. Anything contrary to that is wrong. Somebody says, well, I see that. I can demonstrate from the Scriptures that Christ is a successful Savior, that everybody He died for must be saved, and that He only died for a sheep, the elect. I can show you that grace actually saves. By grace actually saves. By grace you are saved. I can show you that God's people persevere to the end, and you can see, yes, this is what the Bible teaches. But you know, that's not receiving the love of the truth. You know, I remember one time I actually talked to somebody that was coming to church here for a while, and I remember he came over to our house, and I can't remember what the guy's name was, but we were talking about this, and he says, I see that the Bible teaches election, but that doesn't mean I like it. I do. Now, it's one thing to see that the Bible teaches God is sovereign. It's another thing to cleave to it and delight in the fact that He controls everybody and everything because He's God and that He's the first cause behind everything. You know, people talk about that, well, that's the permissive will of God. That's the, the direct will of God. No, whatever it is, it's the will of God. Whatever it is, it's the will of God. And if you love God, you're glad it's that way. I not only see that the Bible teaches total depravity, I see I'm totally depraved. Me. I'm not talking about somebody else, talking about myself. I thank God that the Bible teaches that He freely elected a people. I love that. I find salvation in the fact that salvation is by His choice. And oh, how I love that Christ is a successful Savior, because that's my only hope. That when He said it is finished, my salvation was finished. It wasn't made available if I do something. It was accomplished by what He has done. I've received the love of the truth. I love that salvation by grace. All of grace. I love that. I love that God preserves His people so that they persevere all the way to the end. It's one thing to say, yeah, I see the Bible teaches that. It's another thing to receive the love of the truth. Repentance and faith. There's no salvation apart from repentance and faith, is there? The Lord opened His public ministry saying, repent and believe the gospel. And when He closed His public ministry, well, this was after He was resurrected and He was getting ready to send back to the Father. He said, this is what is to be preached. Repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in his name. Now, turn with me for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What is repentance? Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now that's what repentance is. It's a change of mind to where I actually acknowledge, embrace the truth. Look in Titus chapter 1. Here's what faith is. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth. Now that's what the faith of God's elect is. It's the acknowledging. It's the embracing. It's the perception of the truth. He that doeth truth. And when you do truth, you find liberty in the truth. You find freedom in the truth and nothing else. The Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. There is such liberty. There is such freedom in the truth. And if I'm not liberated by the truth, and I'm not talking about my knowledge of the truth, I'm talking about the truth himself who makes me free. He is the truth. The truth is a person. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody who does the truth finds liberty, freedom in the truth. Now let's look at this statement back in our text in John chapter 3 in its context. Beginning in verse 17. Of John chapter 3. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You know, the world already was condemned, wasn't it? Already was condemned. He didn't have to send the Son of the world to condemn the world. Already was condemned. But here is his reason for sending his Son, that the world through him might be saved. Well, I'm interested in that, aren't you? I want to be saved. I want him to save me. I know I can't save myself. Lord, save me! I want to be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, may the Lord enable me to say some very clear, pointed things. Simple things concerning faith. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the Lord gives us something like that? He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, the first thing that I would notice is the object of faith. He that believeth on him, on the Son of God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object of faith. It's not the Father. Somebody says, well, if I just knew I was one of the elect, that God had chose me, I could believe. No, no, that's not faith. It's not God the Holy Spirit. If I could just see and experience the Spirit's work within me and I could feel that the Lord had given me some kind of new life, then I could believe. No. He that believeth on him, not the Father, not the Spirit, but the Son, he is the object of faith. Faith is not what you believe about yourself. Faith is what you believe concerning Him. Nothing else. Well, I believe I'm saved. That's not faith. That's not faith. If I have faith, here's what I believe concerning Him. He's God. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the absolute sovereign of the universe, the one who controls everybody and everything. He's man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. And I believe that He, as the God-man, is my righteousness before God. That's what I believe if I have faith. I believe His perfect obedience that He worked out in the flesh when God was manifest in the flesh. I really believe that His obedience, His righteousness, is the only righteousness I have. I really believe that. It's what you believe concerning Him. I believe that His precious blood is the only sin payment. I can't do anything about my sin. You can't do anything about your sin. But His blood cleanseth from all sin. Nothing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's what you believe concerning Him. I believe that He was raised from the dead because He rendered to God complete satisfaction. That's why He was raised from the dead. God said, I'm satisfied with Him and everybody in Him. Faith is what you believe concerning Him. Whoso believeth on Him. Somebody says, well, I could believe if what? If Christ died? No, I believe that He died, but I could believe if I could see some evidence of a work of grace in my heart. That's not believing on Christ, that's believing in yourself. And whatever evidence it is that makes you think that you're saved is nothing more than an antichrist. That's it. Antichrist. Anti means in the stead of. You're looking to something instead of Christ. He that believeth on Him. What is the reason one man believes this and somebody else doesn't? He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He's justified. He stands perfect before God. You know, there's some in this room that really believe this. And there's some who don't. What is the reason? Well, one sees their need and the other doesn't. Well, that's true. That's true, but why do you see your need? Why do you see your need? There's only one reason. Because He revealed to you your need of Him. The reason one believes and the other doesn't is the sovereign grace of God. The Lord looked at the Pharisees one time and He said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. What's the difference? Being a sheep. They're sheep and they're goats. A goat never becomes a sheep and a sheep never becomes a goat. The difference is the sovereign grace of God. By grace are you saved. Not by grace is salvation offered to you. I hate that kind of teaching. By grace are you saved. Now, upon what ground can man believe he's somebody that Christ died for? What makes you think you're somebody that Christ died for? Now, I need to bring this out, and I need to bring this out every time I talk about the death of Christ. Jesus Christ did not shed His blood for all men without exception. And somebody that preaches that He did is not preaching the gospel. There's no gospel in that message. If he could shed his blood for somebody and pay for their sins and they wind up in hell anyway, you've taken away my only hope. My only hope is his death. Now, upon what ground can this person, upon what ground can you have any hope that he died for you? Do you know there's only one ground? Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners, of whom I am the chief. The only ground upon which you or I can believe that Christ died for us is if we are sinners. Somebody says, but isn't everybody a sinner? Well, yeah, they are, but not everybody knows it. Not everybody knows it. Now, a sinner is somebody, I say this all the time, I'm going to say it again, a sinner, according to the Scriptures, is somebody who all they do is sin. They cannot not sin, and their sin is all their fault. It's all their fault. They're not looking to blame it on somebody else or blame it on God. It's all their fault. It's my fault I am what I am. And I don't have the right to look in judgment upon anybody because of my sin. I do all the time because of my self-righteousness, but I shouldn't. It's pure hypocrisy when I do. And I have, in and of myself, no claims on God. Now, not everybody believes that about themselves. But everybody that believes they're a sinner, they do believe that about themselves. And listen to this scripture. Romans 5, 6 says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who did he die for? Those who are without strength and those who are ungodly. Well, that's me. Then he died for you. It's for sure. He died for you. Well, upon what warrant can I actually believe without it being an act of presumption? Because Christ commands you to. Believe. That's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's as much a reason that you should be saved as anybody else, which is no reason at all in you. No reason at all. Salvation is for Christ's sake. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And how I love the results of faith. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Do you hear that? He that believeth on him is not condemned. Why? There's nothing to condemn him for. He's been justified. Christ has put away his sins. He stands before God without guilt. There's nothing to condemn him for. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he still sins. Yeah, but they're not charged to it. But he sins often. Well, yes, that's true, too. It's through the infirmity of the flesh. But he's got a nature that would never sin again. He's got a holy nature. This is what the Bible calls justification. Now go back to our text. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is why a man goes to hell. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, Christ himself is the light. He's the light as to how God could have something to do with me or you. He's the light of the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There's no love for the light, but a love of darkness. Men prefer being saved by works to his grace. Men prefer man getting the glory and him not getting all the glory. They love darkness rather than light. Why? because their deeds are evil. Now, look in verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil. Now, there's the doing of the truth, and there's the doing of evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. My marginal reading says discovered, exposed to be what they are. Do you know why men hate the light? All of their deeds are exposed as evil. All of them. That's why men hate the light. All the light does is expose everything they do as evil. That's what the light exposes, and the natural man hates that light. He hates the God who is light, and he's not going to come to the light. I love what the Lord said in John chapter 7, verse 7 to some people. He said, the world can't hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. All of the works thereof are evil. That's why men hate the light. Now here's our text, verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, in the original, the word wrought, talking about our works, that's what the word is generally translated, works. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What must we do that we might work the works of God? Now that man that does the truth, he comes to the light that his deeds might be manifest, that they're wrought in God. Now this is very important. In the original, this is in the perfect passive tense. Now, what does that mean? Language means something. It's very important how something is said. And this is important for me to bring this out. His deeds are perfect. They're not lacking anything. And it's in the passive tense, meaning it didn't have anything to do with them doing anything. Their deeds. They're perfect, and it doesn't have anything to do with them doing anything. They're wrought in God. Now that word in, it's a preposition, and quite often it's translated with the word by. They come to the light that their deeds might be manifested, that God is the one who did them. That's what they're not afraid to bring to the light. Now, I'm afraid to bring anything that has my fingerprints on it to the light. I'm not going to do it because I know it'll be exposed to be rotten and no good and sinful and insincere and hypocritical and everything else. I know that. Anything that has my fingerprint on it, I'm not bringing that to the light. All it's going to be is filthy rags, because the Scripture says our righteousnesses are filthy rags. But here's what I'm not ashamed to bring to the light. This is what I can boldly bring to the light. My deeds are perfect because He did them. Now, is this some new novel teaching what I'm talking about? Well, if it is, it's not true. If what I'm saying is something new, it's not true. But it's what the Bible's always taught. Turn with me for a moment to Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 12. Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us. And here's what that peace consists in. For Thou also hast wrought all our works in us. And my marginal reading says, for us. For us. Now, He's ordained peace. And here's what that peace is. He has worked all of our works for us. And we'll bring that to the light. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, first of all, my perfect deeds are nothing short of the law-keeping and merits of Jesus Christ. They're mine. They're mine. That's my life. It's what the Bible calls justification. That's my life. That's why I can come into God's presence without fear. Why? I bring my deeds to the light. And my deeds are the righteousness and merits of Christ. Because Revelation 19:8 says she has fine linen, clean and white, and this fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Somebody says, no, that's the righteousness of Christ. Yes, it's the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of Christ is the righteousness of the saints. And I'll bring that to the light. I'll let the very holiness of God look that over. I'm not afraid. Perfect righteousness. Well, what about faith? What about repentance? What about love to God? I'll bring all that to the light too, because that's His work. If I have faith, it's the faith of Christ. It's the faith He gave me. Everything He requires of me, He gives to me. The repentance I have is His gift. That acknowledging of the truth is His gift. Everything is His gift. The love I have is His gift. It's Him in me. I'll bring anything to the light that He did. Now, if it has my fingerprints on it, no. No, I'm not bringing that to the light. I'm scared to death. But I'll bring to the light that which is wrought by God. Salvation is of the Lord. As He is, so are we in this world. But he that doeth truth. Now, what's that mean? Well, he's heard the truth. He believes the truth. He worships God through what he's heard. And he's received the love of the truth. And he's found liberty, freedom, only in the truth that the Son shall make you free. You'll be free indeed. I think of that scripture, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by Him. Now, I come to God by Him. That means when He comes to God, I do. And I come to God only by Him. I don't come pleading anything else. That's what the doing of the truth is. It's really believing the gospel. It's that simple. The doing of the truth. I'll bring what He did. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, I look at my good works and my bad works, and I can't tell the difference between the two. And the only safe thing to do is throw them all overboard and enter heaven through the plank of free grace. Amen to that. He that doeth truth comes to the light that his deeds might be manifested, that they're all worked by God Himself. Now, Paul put it this way in Philippians 2:13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. May the Lord enable you and I to be doers of the truth. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you from the depths of our heart that we don't have to bring anything into your presence that has anything to do with us. But we come boldly into your presence through the Lord Jesus Christ, being in Him, pleading only His merit, and knowing the fact that the reason that we plead only His merit is it's because of your work in us. Lord, we don't want to have anything to do with anything that has our fingerprints on it. Oh Lord, by your amazing grace, cause us to be doers of the truth. And Lord, indeed, our hope is that all of our works are solely what you have done. Bless us for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.